If you have your Bibles, we want to turn to Jeremiah and the chapter 38. Jeremiah chapter 38. We have the story of Ebed-Melech rescuing Jeremiah here from the pit. Really, our subject this morning is rescuing sinners from the pit. A care that can be found in this portion of God's Word. So let's look to the Lord and ask for His help and be with us today. Father in heaven, we pray now for Thy blessing. We thank You for, Lord, the hymns and the hymns of praise. We thank You for the hymn about Christ and His love and His death upon the cross. And we rejoice that we have a Savior in the Lord Jesus. We pray that Thou would be with us around the Word, that Thou would speak to our hearts, and Thou would teach us through some Thy precious truth. We pray now that Thou would bless each one in Thy presence, and bless myself as I would minister the Word that Thou hast laid upon my heart. And let everything, Lord, be said and done for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said here in Jeremiah 38, we have the great theme, rescuing sinners from the pit. Evangelism is very much a work that has to be carried out by the church of the Lord Jesus. We remind ourselves of the well-known words in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 15. And Christ, taking His leave from His people, He says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the Gospel to every creature." And this is Christ's command to the church at large, that we are to take the Gospel, that we are to preach the Gospel, that we are to go into all the world with the Gospel message and tell people about Christ and His wonderful salvation. As one writer says, we cannot bring the whole world to Christ, but we must bring Christ to the whole world. Oh, dear friends, I'm glad today that we can bring Christ to the world. There are many ways of doing evangelism, through the church ministry, through gospel campaigns. We're glad today that we have the radio and the radio broadcast. In many homes throughout our province, in the south of Ireland, throughout the world, there are many people can switch on their radio and they can listen to the gospel and they can hear the good news about Christ. The internet, CDs, DVDs, door-to-door visitation, all of these things are to be done by the Church of Christ in order to bring the gospel to people who's in the pit, to people, dear friends, who is on that broad road that leads to destruction. We are to seek to rescue the perishing. We are to seek to bring the good news of the gospel to them who are lost and without Christ. Now in the Bible, there are many examples of soul winning. You can find it some in the parables. The great parable of the great supper. In Luke 14 verse 17, "Come, now for all things are now ready." And the gospel invitation to men and women all over the world is to come to Christ. And if you're in this service this morning and you're not saved, and you're in your sins, and you're far away from God, the same words come to your heart. Come, for all things are now ready. Christ has died upon the cross. He has shed His blood. He can save you, as we were singing. He can save you now. He can cleanse you from all your sin. Evangelism is found in the great parables. The great examples, of course, is found in people of the Bible. The Apostle Paul was one who had zeal for souls. He was one who went out on three missionary journeys. Ah, friends, he didn't count the cost. He was beaten. He was hated. He was despised. He was cast into prison. Ah, but he had this burning desire in his heart. He wanted to rescue the perishing. He wanted to bring the gospel to those, in a sense, as we will see, who were down in the pit. Those who were lost without Christ. Great examples is found even in his life. No greater example, of course, than Christ. Christ is one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, there's wonderful, wonderful examples in the Bible of soul winning, of reaching out, of having a concern in your heart for those who were lost. And here in this historical passage of Jeremiah, we have this typical picture of a soul winner, Ebed-Melech, He sees Jeremiah down in the pit. He's concerned about him, and he does everything he can in order to rescue this man. And he does. He rescues Jeremiah. Jeremiah is down in the mire, and Jeremiah is down in the pit. And Jeremiah, as we will see, will surely perish. But there's a man who's concerned about him. He bade me like. He does everything he can to rescue him from the pit that he was in. Oh, a wonderful picture here is found of the soul winner. In this man, Ebed-Melech, rescuing sinners from the pit. Now, to rescue Jeremiah from the pit, there were three things that he had. We see, first of all, Ebed-Melech and his sympathy. He had sympathy for the state that Jeremiah was in. He had a burden in his heart about this man. He had a concern about him. It tells us in the verse 7 that he heard that Jeremiah had been put down into the dungeon. And when this man Ebed-Melech, when he heard this, he had this sympathy, he had this concern, as he thought about Jeremiah the prophet, Jeremiah the man of God, he's down in the pit. He had his sympathy. He had his concern when he heard about the state, the position that Jeremiah was in. And he was in an awful, awful position. You see, you think about the captivity of Jeremiah. It said in verse 6, then took they Jeremiah. Here's these men, and they're coming, and the word took can mean to seize or to carry away. And Jeremiah, this man, he's sitting there, and these men come, and they lay hold upon Jeremiah, and they lay hold upon Jeremiah, and they take him. And it says in verse 6 that they cast him into the dungeon. Indeed, it tells us that they let him down with cords into the dungeon. They put the cords in Jeremiah, and they put him down into this pit. He's now a prisoner. He's now put into captivity. And this man, Ebed-Melech, he heard about this captor. He heard about Jeremiah. He heard how these men came and they laid hold upon him and they cast him and they put him down into the pit. And he's concerned about it. He's concerned about it. Tell me, God's people this morning, are you concerned about people who's in a spiritual pit? People who's been taken captive. The Bible says of the one outside of Christ that they're taken captive by him and his will. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26. That the old devil, in a sense, he's laid hold upon the unsaved person. He has captured the unsaved person. He is holding that sinner with chains of sin. And they cannot get away. And they cannot get away from sin. And they cannot get away from Satan. They're in the pit. They're in the prison. The Bible says in John 8 verse 34, Christ says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Dear friends, the very slave of sin. And they can't get away from sin. They're held in sin. They're held in this pit because they've been taken captive by sin and by the devil. Are we concerned about such people? Are we concerned about such people? It's been taken captive. Held by sin. Held by the devil. But now the Lord Jesus pitied sinners. The Lord Jesus had that burden, that concern for sinners. That's why he left glory. That's why, friends, he came into this world. He had this burden for sinners. Tell me, are you concerned? Are you concerned about the lost? Maybe you're unsaved in this meeting this morning, and this is really a picture of you. You're taken captive. And you're held by the devil. And you're held by sin. And you will surely lose your soul. Are you not concerned about this morning? Here's a man, he was concerned. He had this sympathy. He heard about his captivity. He heard about the condition also of Jeremiah. In verse 7, it tells us there in the verse 7 that he was cast. He heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. Oh, it tells us about this word dungeon. The first mention in the Bible of this word is Genesis 37 verse 20. The deal with Joseph. Come now therefore and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. So we're not talking here about a 5-star jail. We're talking here about a pit. We're talking here about a hole in the ground. And they take this man and they cast him down into this pit. And Ebed-Melech, he hears that Jeremiah's in the pit. And Jeremiah's down in the bottom of this terrible, terrible pit. And he was concerned. Did he think of that pit where he was? Wasn't it deep? Doesn't that tell us that these men had to let him down with cords? It was that deep, they couldn't cast him right down to the bottom. They had to let him down with cords. I don't know how deep it was. But some writers had said in Lamentations 3, verse 55, that was to do with Jeremiah at this time. And he says, I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Jeremiah then is in the deep trouble. He's in the low dungeon. And we can say, he's at his very lowest. And could we not say, he's at rock bottom. He's down at the very bottom of the pit. And when he met me, like, he hears about Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he's in the pit, but he's down at the very bottom of this pit. He's at his very lowest. No ability to get out himself. Could do nothing to get out of this pit. He thought about this man down in the pit and held by chains. Down there in the bottom of the pit. And his heart was touched and he was concerned about Jeremiah. No ability to raise himself out. No strength to release himself from this pit. Oh, Ebed-Melech, he pitied him. He had sympathy. Oh, he thought about this man down in the pit. Well, can I say to you, child of God, should we not pity the sinner who is at the bottom of the pit? There are people in the town today. Rock bottom. Rock bottom, friends. Maybe they can get no further down in their life by sin. Maybe today you're in this meeting and you're at your lowest. You're very lowest. You're in this low dungeon. There may be people tied up with drink and drugs and immorality and helpless and weak and cannot get out. Because the Bible says of the sinner in Romans 5 verse 6, when we were yet without strength. You can't get out of this pit. Oh, you say, no, well, I'm in no pit. You're unsaved. Listen, you may have a lovely home. You may have a car. You may have everything. But if you're not saved spiritually, you're like Jeremiah in this dungeon. You're held by the devil. And you're held firmly by the devil. And you're down in this deep hole, my friends. Oh, dear friends, are we not touched with people who is lost without Christ? Have we not got a heart for the lost, for people at the bottom of the pit? People in the bottom of the pit, we see them all the time. Rock bottom. May God touch our hearts and give us a concern and sympathy for those who are lost. This pit was deep. It was also dark. The very fact that Jeremiah was lowered down in the pit and there was a stone placed upon it. And Lamentations 3 and verse 2 says, he has led me and brought me into darkness. He was in darkness. There was no windows. Just down in a deep hole in the ground. Could you imagine what it'd be like? Darkness that could be felt. And there he was down in this pit of darkness. And oh, when he met me, like, he knew about this prison. He knew how deep it was. He knew how awful this pit was. This dungeon. And when he thought about Jeremiah, Jeremiah's down in this deep pit and he's held firmly in the pit. And oh, it's an awful place. It's an awful place of darkness. He was touched. He was concerned. His heart went out to him. Jeremiah in darkness. Oh, can I say unsaved? That's your position before God this morning. In darkness. The Bible speaks of people in Matthew 4 verse 16, the people who sat in darkness. In darkness today. The Bible speaks in John 3 verse 19 that they love men loving darkness. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness. Darkness today. Concerning your soul and concerning sin and concerning salvation. Oh, you are in darkness. Spiritually speaking. And heading for darkness. There's more darkness to come for the unsaved. The worst darkness is to come for the unsaved. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 22 verse 13, then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And here is an awful day of darkness for the unsaved. they would be taken and cast into outer darkness. You see, the weeping and gnashing of teeth.
There's an awful day coming on saved for you. If you're not saved, you can laugh at the gospel maybe today. You can reject Christ today. But there's a day coming you'll cry. And you'll weep. And you're lost. And are we as God's people, are we not concerned? There's people like Jeremiah in this awful deep pit, in this hole in the ground. And they're held by the devil, and they're held by sin, and they are in darkness.
And this man heard about Jeremiah, he was touched. How awful for this man to be in this place, this pit. It was also dangerous, you see, in verse 6. In the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah what sunk in the mire. That mire is mud or clay. They could hardly stand that. One writer actually said, and Josephus said he was up to the neck, but I just don't know where it was that deep in it. I find it hard to believe that. But that's what Josephus, he said about this man. But he was sinking in the mire. He could hardly stand. This was a dangerous place. There was no food. Oh, friends, there was no water. And here was these people. They wanted this man to die. They wanted to take away this man's life. He was closed up in this pit. In order that he would die. In Lamentations 3 and verse 35, he says, they have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. And so there's this hole in the ground, and he's down in the mire, and he's sinking in the mire, and there's no food, and there's no water, and he's in darkness, and there's this stone on top of it all. And Jeremiah's going to die. This is the purpose of it all, friends. This is the reason these men came, and they got a hold of Jeremiah, and they cast him down into the pit. They wanted to take away his life. He made thee like he knew. He knew that the danger that he was in. They're going to kill Jeremiah. Jeremiah will surely die. He will surely die. And his heart went out to this man. His heart was full of pity and concern as he thought about the serious position that Jeremiah was in. He was in great danger. Oh, dear friends, if you're not saved, you're in great danger. Great danger. There is but a step between me and death. That's to every one of us. You can lose your soul in a moment. In one moment. Because there's wrath, beware, the Bible says, lest he take you away with a stroke. You will surely perish in your sin if you continue. And God's people, we see people, not just in our congregation, we see people in the town, and maybe in your workplace, have you this burden, this concern, this sympathy for those who are lost? And we see the danger that they're in, and we see if they continue, that they will surely lose their soul. They'll be lost for all eternity. They will surely perish. The Apostle Paul was one such man, who had a great heart full of sympathy and pity for the lost. He says over there in Romans chapter 9 and verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brother, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And notice what this man says, that he had great heaviness. And he said, I have continual sorrow in my heart. It wasn't just a sorrow or a burden for a gospel campaign for a few weeks, but continually, he had this burden, he had this concern, he had this sympathy in his heart for those who were lost. Well, how do we stand? Child of God, how do you stand in relation to this? Have you a burden for the lost? To rescue Jeremiah from the pit. He made thee like he needed this. He needed this concern. He needed this burden. He needed this sympathy. And he had it. If we're going to win souls for Christ, we need to have a burden for them. Are we concerned about people spiritually who's in the pit? In darkness, will lose their soul. Held by sin. Held by the devil. sinking in the mire. There are sinners in this town sinking in the mire. Cannot stand up. Down and down and down they go. Is that you in the meeting? Is that you in this meeting? You're going down. You're down farther this week than you were last week. Going down more and more into sin. Yes, we need a burden for the lost. We know about it. We've heard this man, Ebed Melech. He heard about this. He heard about this terrible, terrible position that this man, Jeremiah, was in, and his heart went out to him. Are we concerned? We've heard about it. The mission's coming off shortly, in a few months, not belonging around. Are you concerned? Are you burdened? About people that's held by the devil, held in this awful pit. What a terrible place he was in, an awful place, this pit, a worse place you couldn't want to be in this earth. Down in the dungeon, down in the darkness, down to your friends in the mirror. In the mirror, there he was, with stone on top of it. Could you imagine what it had been like? But there's a man who concerned. There's a man who cared. May we never lose the concern for souls. May we never lose the burden for souls. It's in the word, no man careth for my soul. And none ever say that in this time. All the community, that we don't care. May we show them that we do care. There was a man who cared outside the pit. And Jeremiah's down and he's held. There's this man, Ethiopian. It's not one of his own men. He was not a Jew. But he was concerned. He was burdened. And he was going to do all he could to get him out. And that's where we come to our next point. Ebed Melech and a supplication. We can see here that after he heard about the plight of Jeremiah, he sets out in order. He sets out to deliver him from the pit. And the first thing he does is this. He goes right to the king. King Hezekiah. He goes right to him. In verse 8. It says, Ebed-Melech went forth of the king's house and spake to the king, said, and here's the first thing he does. He's going to get this man out of the pit. He goes to see the king. And so you have here Ebed-Melech and his supplication. He's going to pray, in a sense. And you see here that he prayed wisely, because he went to the right person. He went to the king. Look, he's going to the high priest or anybody else in this. If he goes right to the man at the very top. The man in authority. The man upon the throne. And he goes right to this man here. And he prays very, very wisely. The one who had the power to release Jeremiah. The one who had the authority. And he goes right to him. He prayed wisely. You know, if we're ever going to see people see it, we need to pray wisely. We need to go to the king. Christ is king. We need to seek his authority. We need to seek his help in order to get people out of the pit. And now we find in the word of God in Matthew 15 and verse 22 about a woman of Canaan, and she came out of the coast and cried unto him, that was Christ, have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David, my daughter. My daughter is grievously vexed of the devil. And here's a woman, and she comes. And she comes to the right person. She comes to the king. And she comes to Christ. And Lord, have mercy. My daughter is grievously vexed of the devil. She prays wisely to come to Christ. In Psalm 2 and verse 8, it says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the healing for thine hurts. Ask of thee. You need to pray wisely. You need to pray, you see. We need to pray to God. If we're going to see people saved, we need to get on our knees before God. We want to see our family saved, friends saved, people of the community, Roman Catholics saved. We need to pray. We need to go to the King. Lord, there's people held in the pit. I want you to save them. He prayed wisely. He prayed very humbly as well. You can see in verse 9. He says, my Lord, the King, these men have done evil in all that thou hast done to Jeremiah. Notice the words, my Lord the King. He addresses the king in the right manner. He gives the king his rightful position. He does not demand, I want this and I want that. No, he's praying humbly before the king. He's making his request before the king. And dear friends, when we come to pray, we cannot boss God around. Some people try to boss God around in their petitions. Lord, I want you to do this and do that and do the other and go here and go there and everything. That's not how we pray. You've got to pray according to the will of God. The leper came to Christ in Matthew 8 and verse 2. He says, Lord, if thy wilt, thou canst make me whole. Thou can make me clean. But he said, if thy wilt. And we need to pray humbly unto the Lord. And come down and say, Lord, will thy come? And he prayed very sincerely. Because look at verse 9. He tells the king all about it. My lord the king, these men, they've done evil in all that thou hast done, that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the prison, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in this city. Oh, here's a man, he's praying sincerely, he's telling the king all about it. These men, oh our king, they have taken Jeremiah and they have cast him into the pit, and he's in the dungeon, and he's like to die there for hunger, there's no bread in this city, and he's telling the king all about it. Telling the king all about the horrible position that Jeremiah's in. And I want to save him. And I want him out of that pit. But he's going to die. He's going to die in that pit if he's not delivered. And he's down before the king. And he's pleading before the king. And he's bringing his petition here to the king. Deliver Jeremiah from the pit. Give me the authority to bring him out. Oh dear friends, when you come to pray, sometimes people say it's hard to pray. Just you pray, Lord, save the lost. Tell the Lord all about them. They're in the pit. They will perish. There's no bread, no bread of life in the fabric of Christ. They're lost. They are in darkness. They need thee. Oh, Lord, save them. Lord, would you deliver them? Plead before the Lord. Here's a man coming and he's praying. And he's praying sincerely before the king. May we do the same. May we be sincere in praying for the lost. As George Whitfield said, give me souls or take away my soul. May God give us a burden. You know, if you're all saved in this meeting, I know this, there's people praying for you. There's people praying for you. You may have been in the pit. You may be in darkness. There may be a rock on top of your life, closing out the light of the gospel and closing out God. But there's people praying. And you be glad there's people praying for you, that you might be saved. Tell the Lord all about it. This man did this. May we pray. And you notice he prayed swiftly as well, because in verse 7 you'll find here he heard that they put Jeremiah in the dungeon. He heard. And then look at verse 8. Ebed-Melech went forth. As soon as he heard, he went forth. As soon as he heard about it, there was no delay in this at all. He heard about Jeremiah. Jeremiah's in the pit. He's in danger. He's in darkness. And he could lose his soul. And immediately this man went out to see the king. No delay, no slackness. And he was very solace in the place of prayer. Are we not slack in the place of prayer? We know the danger people's in, but do we pray? Do you come to the prayer meeting to pray for them? As we all unite our hearts together, we should. Do you seek God? The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, verse 1, about first of all, the prayer of supplications made for all men, and so on. First of all, are we slack in the place of prayer? Here's a man went to see the king. As soon as he heard about Jeremiah down in that dark hole in the ground, he went to see the king. That you and I will always go to the king. When sinners won't pray for themselves, we're glad we can pray for them. We can get before God and pray for people that they might be saved. Oh, that they might come to the knowledge of the truth. Keep on praying. He prayed successfully as well, because you see there in verse 10, he got the permission. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, take from thence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. Oh, he got the authority that he wanted. He says with him, yes, go and do it. Take 30 men with him. And go and take him out of the dungeon. Take him out of that horrible pit. Before he dies, go and do it. But his prayer was answered. He got the authority. He got the authority what to do. To go. To go, friends. You know, we have the authority to rescue people. We have the authority.
People must say to you, door-to-door work, you have no right to go around the doors and give out gospel tracts and try to ram the gospel down people's throats. People have all these allegations against you. Listen, we have great authority. Go. The Lord has told us to go. We're told to go with the gospel into all the world and to preach. The Lord, to serve Christ. We have the authority to go. He got the authority. Yes, go and get them. Go and take them out of the pit. And the Lord has told us, as I said in our introduction, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we have the authority to go. We have got it. Let us pray. Let us pray for that. That God will direct our footsteps then. That God will give us the ability and the guidance to rescue people from the pit. Oh, we need to pray. And all I want to say that I said, remember that somebody's praying for you. You thank God for that. You mightn't pray yourself, but you can be sure in this congregation there's somebody praying for you. Somebody's praying. Maybe you're running in the world of sin. And your mother and father's praying for you. You thank God they're praying that you'll be delivered from this pit. You'll be delivered from the wrath of God to come. And you'll get everlasting life. He bade me like and his supplication. Can I say lastly, he bade me like in his service. His very name, you know what his name means? It means servant of the King. What a great name he had, servant of the King. One of them great to know, a servant of the King. A servant of the King. That's what his name means. And you think about his service here, we look first of all at his men, because in verse 10 to 11, it tells us here that the king said, take 30 men with you. He needed help to get this man out of the dungeon, out of the pit. And he realized this was not a one-man task, not a one-man task at all. And the king says, go and get him out, but take 30 men with you. Well, you say, why would he need 30 men? Well, some people have suggested, maybe was there going to be a fight? He was guarded, you know. He was a prisoner. He was hated, Jeremiah. Did they need him to protect him after they got him out? Or was the hole so deep that they were going to have to take turns to bring him out? I don't know. But there was his men. He needed 30 men to get him out. And this teaches us a lesson. One in the soul is not a one-man task. We've all a part to play. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. We all have a part to play. And let me say to this, we all in this church and congregation have a part to play in taking people out of the pit, spiritually speaking. And you have a part to play. You have a part to play, whatever that may be. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, about some sowing and some watering. Some will sow and some will water the seed. The Bible speaks in Romans 15 verse 30 about prayer, praying for God's servants. Paul was requesting prayer. God may want you to pray at this prayer meeting next week. Some give of their possessions. In Mark 12 verse 42, there was a certain poor widow and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. That's all she had. But let me say that she gave all of these things. She gave her silver. She gave of her possessions in order to reach the lost and to help the work of God. And that's all maybe you can do. She said, I can't go out. I can hardly move. I have pains. I'm old and infirm. But listen, there's something you can do. You can give your possessions. You need men. Need help, friends. In order to bring people out, are you playing your part? Are you playing your part in order to bring people out of the pit? He had 30 men to go to do it. Think about his method. There it is mentioned also. And it's mentioned in the verse 11. It says here, he took old clouts and old rotten rags. He was to go with these and put them onto his arm, gently to bring them out, you see. But there was a word old. He was going to do it the old way. He was going to do it the old way. Old clouts and old rotten rags. Oh dear friends, if we're going to take people out, we need to keep to the old way. The old way of preaching Christ and preaching the gospel. People are trying to do new methods. And they're saying we've got to get dance bands in, and we've got to get dramas, and we've got to get the altar course, and we've got to do this, and we've got to do that, and we've got to get new ways to get people out. That's wrong. God's victory ultimately. The preaching of Jesus Christ. The old methods, friends. The old way we've got to stay with us. He was told to get these things. Some were trying new methods. Let us do it the old way. The preaching of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 21, it says, we're pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. How does God save? By the foolishness of preaching. Preaching Christ and Him crucified and warning sinners to flee to the Lord Jesus and to come and trust Him, all by preaching and by preaching the gospel. That's how sinners are saved. This is the method. The old plots and the old rags, the old way. May we stick to the old way, friends, and seeking to win the lost. Think about His message in His service here. Well, He had a message. He said in verse 12, and it says there, "And he bade me like the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, put now these old cast lots and rotten rags under thine armholes and under the cords." And Jeremiah did so. He's telling them what to do, to put these things under his arms, to lay hold upon them. And the rope's coming down. And put these cloths and put these rags under your armpits, and then we'll put the rope and we'll pull you up. But he was to lay hold upon this, friends. Well, we have a message, haven't we? To lay hold upon Christ. That's our message. I don't tell you to join any church. I don't tell you to climb any mountains. I don't tell you, friends, to pay any price. The price is paid. We're saying, lay hold on Jesus Christ. Just lay hold upon Him. Come as you are. Remember, Jeremiah was in the mire. He would have been plastered with dirt in the mire. He would have been filthy. But lay hold upon this rope that's coming down. And you may be filthy this morning, sinking in the mire. You may be defiled. But we're saying to you, lay hold upon Christ. Just lay hold upon Christ the way you are. And all your filth, friends. There's Jeremiah at the bottom of the pit, and he's filthy. And he lays hold upon this rope that will bring him out, friends. Come to Christ with all your sin the way you are. People try to change themselves first. Just come the way you are to Christ. And He'll bring you out. And He'll save you. Oh, you think here of His might. It says, so they drew up Jeremiah with cords. They got him around, friends, and they pulled him up. And they got him out. He was delivered out of that horrible hole in the ground. He was delivered out of the mire. He was delivered out of the darkness. They brought him out. And that's what our duty at this church is to do, is to seek to bring people out of the pit. To bring them out, friends. The book of Acts in chapter 2 says about Peter preaching and 3,000 saved, delivered from the pit. May God give us this blessing of seeing people delivered from the pit. May God touch our hearts to be soul winners. Be concerned. Tell me, in closing, are you still in the pit? You've heard the gospel preached. You've heard the call to come to Christ. Imagine Ebed-Melech shouting down to Jeremiah, put these cast clouts and rags on your armpits. And the rope's coming down. And the rope will be down in a few seconds. Lay hold upon it. What about Jeremiah saying, I'm not laying hold upon it. I don't want the rope. Would you not say, what a fool. What a fool he would have been to reject that help. It have been terrible. Are you not a fool? Are you not a fool by turning away from Christ? The one who can deliver you from the wrath of God to come. The one who can save you from your horrible pit that you're in of sin. Don't turn away, but come to Christ with all of your heart even this day. And you will find that He will save you. And He will save you now. May God touch our hearts. And may we always be in the business of seeking to rescue sinners from the pit. May God write His word upon our hearts. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the word of God. We thank You for the message. Really a double message in a sense, Lord, to Your people first, that we might have a burden, a concern to those who's in the pit. Without Christ, we're once in the pit ourselves. We can say the testimony of the psalmist, He took me out of a horrible pit. and out of the Mary Clay. We've been in that pit, Lord. We know what it's like. It's horrible, it's dark, it's dangerous. But we've been taken out, and may we have that burden to take others out to see them saved. Remember those who are unsaved this morning. We pray that you'll touch them. We pray they've been shown really spiritually the condition that they're in. They may have everything physically speaking in the world, but spiritually they're in a pit and in darkness and heading to darkness. And we pray that you'll save them and you give them grace to come to the Lord Jesus. We pray you be with us, dismiss us with thy blessing and in thy fear, and take us to our homes in safety. We pray in Jesus' great name. Amen.